Well, remember last Sunday we talked about faith, not fear. Today we're going to talk about peace, not worry. Peace, not worry. You know, we went over the end time events in the series with Daniel, and now we're learning how to live in these end times. Live by faith, not fear, and today live with peace, not with all the worries and the cares of this life. So I want to start today with a portion of Scripture that we actually covered last week from the prophet Jeremiah. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17 and just two verses real quickly to kind of kick it off here this morning. The other pastor that served with me yesterday at the wedding used a scripture similar to this in regards to the tree planting that Daniel and Amanda did yesterday. And it says this in Jeremiah 17, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green." I love this. "It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit." Now, I went over these two verses in depth last week, so I'm not going to go back through that. But the one I want us to really center in on this week, obviously, is this phrase at the end of verse number 8. And that is, "It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit." I want us to know that no matter what's going on in the world around us, in our nation or the nations of the world, we don't need to fear and we don't need to worry, because God has it all under control. It's all in the palm of his hands. And so even in tough times, in dry seasons, in seasons where we don't understand what God is up to in our lives, we can live worry-free even though tough times may be happening. And in the midst of all that, we will never fail to bear fruit. God will use us in people's lives around us to bless them and to minister to them. Well, let's go now to the New Testament for a little bit. We're going to, again, use quite a bit of Scripture this morning. And I want you to maybe write these down, take notes, because I really believe that as the end time approaches, we're going to need these words. We're going to need Scripture more than ever before to sustain us, to strengthen us in the days ahead. And the subtitle in the NIV in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin at verse number 25. The subtitle is this: "Do not worry." And Jesus is speaking throughout this portion, and he says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Do you believe you're worth a few birds this morning, more than a few birds? I think we are. I think we all are. We're the height of God's creation is humanity. We're worth a lot more. "Who of you," he says in verse 27, "who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life, or a single inch to your height?" Can we do those simple things by our worrying? No, we can't. So he says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more," underline those two words, "much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" God wants to do much more for us than I think we're trying to believe him for. Do you think that? I think God wants to do much more for us than anything we're asking him for at the present time. He says, "I'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think or even imagine." Amen? So God is a God of more than enough. So, verse 31 says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what are we going to wear? For the pagans, those out in the world that don't know the Lord, they're running after all these things. They're chasing after all these things. They're just struggling to get to the top of that corporate ladder. They're struggling to be number one. They're struggling to do this or do that. But he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these essential things. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Food, clothing, shelter, all your needs. He said, I will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. The last verse there, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We may not be here tomorrow. Jesus may come tonight. He may come before we leave this building today. We don't know. But he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? For tomorrow is going to worry about itself. Tomorrow's going to fall into place. God's already got it planned out. It's just waiting for us to get there. Amen? That's part of God's provision for our lives. What you need, what I need for tomorrow and the next day, it's waiting for us there in the future. God's already provided it. He's already handled it. So don't worry about it. And then an interesting statement by Jesus himself. The faith people would say, boy, this is a negative word. But listen to this. Jesus speaking, each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, Jesus said that. Can you believe that? Each day is going to have enough trouble of its own. So just hang in there. Do your best. And God's going to make up the difference. Amen? I believe that. Let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And we're going to go to chapter number 8. And just a couple of verses there. Verses 14 and 15 of Luke chapter 8. This is part of the parable, towards the end of the parable, of the sower. The different seeds that the sower is sowing and the different ground that they fall in. And listen to this verse, verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, in other words, as they live life, as they go through their day, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They're choked. Isn't that amazing? By worry. Worry will choke you. Fear will choke you. We talked last week about fear will always destroy faith. But the converse is true. Faith will always destroy fear. And so he says that, you know, you hear the word, but as you live life, you're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. They don't bear fruit, you know. But he says, but the seed that was sown on good soil stands for those who, with a noble and a good heart, who hear the word, retain it, underline that word retain the word, and by persevering, underline that word, they produce a crop. So we hear the word this morning, and every time we, you know, myself included, over so many years, I grew up in church, and I've heard so many messages. And evangelists would come through our church, and different speakers would come through our church, and I would take notes. And you know, it's important that we not only hear the word, but that we retain the word, and then that we persevere until God brings that word to pass in our lives. Amen? And then we begin to produce a crop for the Lord. We begin to produce fruit for the Lord. We begin to win souls for the kingdom of God. That's the only reason we're left on the planet, is to reach out to others that are lost, to tell them the good news of salvation through Christ, and to be the witness and the testimony and the soul winner that God wants us to be. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Again, we're talking about peace, not worry. This will be our last little portion in regards to worry. Just like last week, we started off with fear and we moved into faith. This morning, we're going to close here, this part on worry, and then we're going to move into the area of peace and how we can have and retain and live in this peace of God that we sang about this morning. But right now, let's finish up the thought on worry. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, very familiar. I've used it often over the years. And it says this, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, living life, just like we read in the other portion, just doing their thing day to day, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Interesting that this woman was a homeowner. You know, it's not that it's very unusual in that day, for a lady to be a homeowner. And so, it was her home. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. She was listening literally to God in the flesh speaking, the living word, speaking the word to her. And she was retaining it, listening to it, to what he said. But Martha, her sister, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she said, "Lord, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Lord, aren't you concerned? There's so much that needs to be done here, and my sister is sitting there doing nothing. So tell her to help me." And then Jesus very calmly and graciously replies to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're upset about many things." What are you worried about this morning? What are you upset about this morning? What maybe causes you to lose sleep at night? What is very stressful to you? What causes you not to be able to relax and to be at peace? Think about that as we go through the message this morning. But Jesus said, "Martha, you're worried and you're upset about a lot of different things, but there's only one thing that's needed. All we really need is Jesus." Amen. Just get in his presence. Just get alone with the Lord and everything will be better. He says, "Mary has chosen what is better, and that's not going to be taken away from her." There's a peace that God wants to give us, each one of us, that cannot be taken away from us. It's a peace that can last. It's not something like the world gives that's only temporary, because there's things in the world that we can encounter, we can do, that will give us temporary satisfaction or pleasure or peace, but it doesn't last, does it? You always are looking for something else. That's why the druggie goes from one thing to another, because there's got to be something better. This one doesn't last. So I got to find something stronger, something different, something better, you know. And before long, they're hooked in a lifestyle of that. Same thing with an alcoholic. It's got to be, I got to numb myself. I've got to drink until I can't think anymore, until I pass out, until whatever. And that's the life that person lives. And so we need this peace that's going to last. We need this security that's going to last, this contentment that's going to last, not just something temporary. Well, David begins this thought about the peace of God this morning in Psalm 119, verse 165. And David tells us this: "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall offend them." Another translation says, "And nothing can make them stumble." I like the fact that he uses the word great. It's not just a peace, but it's a great peace. It's a great peace. Remember, there was a time when the disciples were in a storm, and Jesus is asleep on the back of the boat on a cushion, on a pillow. And they had to wake him up and say, "Lord, don't you care that we're about to drown? This boat's about to sink, and here you are asleep. How can you sleep in the midst of a storm?" How do we have peace in the midst of a storm? Well, it's all because of Jesus. He's the only reason that we can live like that. But great peace can be yours and mine. Great peace have they who love your law, the word of God, and nothing will offend us. We won't be swayed, we won't be offended, we won't be deterred by anything or anyone because of this great peace that comes because we love the law of God, the word of God. Or another translation again, or nothing can make them stumble. The peace of God, this great peace of God that comes from loving his word, will help you not to ever stumble and mess up and make a mistake. It will keep us from sin. The more of the word we get in, the less we're going to sin. I just firmly believe that. The more of the word that lives in us, the less sin and desire to sin are we going to have in our lives. I just believe that. So this morning, we're going to take a walk through the word to see what God has to tell us about this great gift of his peace. Job 22, verse 21, encourages us to submit to God and be at peace with him. There's a problem in the world today because so many people are not at peace with God. They're serving sin. They're serving the devil. And some don't even realize what's really going on. They don't even realize that there's a battle, there's a warfare going on for their very soul, for their eternal existence. Where is that going to be, heaven or hell? And so if we submit to God, we can literally be at peace with God as we surrender to Him. But that's only the starting point, submitting to God. Everything else is going to flow from that, including this great peace that God wants to impart to us. In Psalm 29:11, David tells us, "The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace." Well, God wants to give us strength. What's another word for strength? It's joy. Amen? The joy of the Lord is our strength. He not only wants to give us the joy, but He wants to bless us, and He will bless us with peace. And then let's go to a little further in the book of Psalm. Let's go to chapter number 85, Psalm 85, and we're going to pick up at verse number 8. And again, we've said in several scriptures about listening to the Word of God, listening to the words of God. And David says it here as well, beginning in Psalm 85, verse 8. David says, this is by Korah. He says, "I will listen to what God the Lord will say, because He promises peace to His people." I love that. God promises peace to each one of us that know Christ as our Savior. He promises peace to His people, His saints, but let them not return to folly. So it's that concept of confessing and also forsaking sin. It's easy to confess our sin, but it's a lot tougher to forsake it. Amen? If you live life very long, you know that being human, we're prone to just drop back into sin. And it may not be a lifestyle of sin, obviously, but we mess up from time to time. A thought, a word, an action, a reaction, a motive, an attitude, an intention, a desire that's not pleasing to God, all those different areas we can mess up in a given day. And so He says, "I want you I'll give you this peace, but I don't want you going back to living that lifestyle, that consistent lifestyle of living in sin. You're going to mess up from time to time. We're human. There's none righteous, no, not one. If a person does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. So when we mess up, the Holy Spirit convicts us, and we immediately ask God for forgiveness. That's the way to do it. And you continue on. And that peace will flow as we live in right relationship with the Lord. Well, let's go a little bit further. Verse 9 says, "Surely His salvation," the salvation of God, "is near those who fear Him." We talked about this last week as well. It's a reverence of God. We stand in awe of God. We worship God. So His salvation is near those of us who reverence and stand in awe of Him, so that His glory may dwell in our land. We are the salt, those of us that know Christ. In any nation, those people that live and serve God are the salt of their nation. Amen? We're the salt of the earth, the Bible says. And we are to make people thirsty for wanting more of Jesus, for wanting to know about Christ. And so we're also the preservative. We're there to preserve life. We're there to redeem people to the Lord, bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. It's so important. So we are a part of the glory that God wants in every land, in every nation. Verse 10, "Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest." Boy, I love that. That's some great verses right there. We talked in the New Testament a while ago about those that hear the Word of God and retain it, and by persevering with that Word and in the Word, we produce fruit. What's that? It's a harvest. And that's what He's saying here in the Old Testament as well. If we will live this way, in the peace of God, and we reach out to others in love and faithfulness and righteousness and peace, all this stuff, He says, then we're going to see that our land is going to begin to yield a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of blessing, a harvest of souls that are going to make heaven their home. Man, I love it. Proverbs 14, verse 30 tells us this: a heart, a mind at peace gives life to the body. If you're worrying, then you don't have peace. And so worry is actually something that's going to kill and destroy us, just like fear will kill and destroy us. If we try to live in fear, if we live in worry, it's going to take life from this body. It's going to shorten our natural lifespan. It actually will. So a heart, a mind at peace, gives life to the body. And so there's this concept, and it's very, very true, that our health really begins here. Our health begins in the head. It begins in our mind. What we think, if we think, oh, you know, but I got this pain here. I bet it's going to get worse. You know, I'm probably going to, you know, I might need a back surgery. Or, you know, I mean, you just can take it to the nth degree. You know what I'm saying? But if you think, you know what, nah, probably just twisted something, it'll probably get better. You know, if I loosen up a little bit, you know, do something, it'll probably feel better a little bit later. And so how you look at stuff like that, how you react to something like that, are you going to cave in or are you going to stand up? What are we going to do? Are we going to cave into fear? Are we going to cave into worry? Are we going to cave into doubt? Or are we going to have faith? And are we going to have peace? And are we going to have the joy of the Lord? What are we going to do? It's a choice. It really is a lot of times a choice of how we respond to things in life. But the mind, a heart, a mind that's at peace is literally going to bring life to your physical body. Think about that. There's something to the power of positive thinking. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if you got the flu, don't say, oh, I'm not going to confess I have the flu, you know, like the faith people try to tell us. If you're sick, I mean, you're sick. If you're well, you're well. Amen? And so if God has healed you, you're healed. And if you're not healed yet, well, you're not healed yet. Don't say you are if you're not. Now, they'll use the scripture, well, but call things that are not as though they are. Well, you can, you know, mess with that. But really, we had a guy at our church in New Orleans that he had the flu, but he wasn't confessing it. He wasn't claiming it. But he went around everybody, and so other people caught the flu from him that he didn't have, you know. But so, you know, you can't. If you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't. And so, I mean, don't lie, you know, just tell the truth. And so if your mind is at peace, it's going to bring life to your body. If you're thinking good and positive thoughts, then, you know, you're going to probably produce a positive attitude. But if you're always negative in your thinking, you're going to be a negative person. Because a person thinks in his mind, so is he. So you become. What you think is what you become. And what you think about is going to determine what you become. And you just have to be careful with where you let your mind dwell. You know, our pastor used to say, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep a bird from building a nest in your hair. You know, and it's like thoughts. You can't keep thoughts from coming into your mind, but you don't have to dwell on them. You can kick them out if you choose to. Amen? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have that ability to do that. So if your mind is at peace, it's going to literally bring life to your body. Didn't mean to stay there so long. I don't know why I did, but I guess I needed to. Isaiah 26, verse 3 adds this: you will keep, I love that word keep, in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's a powerful verse. That's a powerful verse. Let's look at this. You will keep, God will keep in perfect peace those of us whose mind is stayed on the Father, stayed on the Lord, because we trust him, because we choose to trust him. And so we're gonna be kept in this perfect peace because we're constantly meditating on the Word of God and on the things of God, and we do that because we trust him. We know that God is with us, we know that God is in us, and we know that God is for us. And again, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Praise God. Well, let's go to Isaiah for just a moment. And we're going to go to chapter number 32, just a couple of verses there. Isaiah 32 and verse number 17. We're talking now about peace. not worry. Verse 17 says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. I love that. When the righteousness of Jesus is applied to our lives at salvation, then we have peace because the righteousness of Christ brings peace into our lives. And then the effect of righteousness, I love this, is quietness and confidence forever. When you have the righteousness of Christ applied to your life at salvation, you're not only at peace, but the effect of that peace is the righteousness of Christ manifested in our lives, and it is quietness and confidence forever. I love that. The quietness that comes in knowing that we're a child of God, and the confidence that we have in knowing that we're ready for heaven, and that the world cannot steal this away from us. It's something that God has given, and only we can take it away by the lives that we would choose to live. And then he goes on. He says, my people, the people that know and love God, will live in peaceful dwelling places. Peaceful dwelling places. Yesterday I prayed over Amanda and Daniel, just a blessing that there would be peace in their home. There would be peace in their home. Because there's something about our home that you want it to be a place of peace. You want it to be a place where you look forward to going to. Kathy and I always enjoy always going back to the house, always back home. Because it's a place of peace. It's a place where we can unplug, where we can unwind, we can relax, we can, you know, just take off the mantles, take off the positions, and just be. That's what home's supposed to be, where you just can just chill, just be yourself. My people, he says, are going to live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes. God not only wants us to live in a peaceful home, but he wants the atmosphere to be secure. I grew up in a very insecure home. My dad wasn't always around. He had issues, medical issues and stuff all the time, in and out of hospitals and stuff. And my mom, had issues in some areas. And so there was an insecure, unstable home for me. And that's how I grew up. And that's why I wrestled with fear, later in adult life, and had to have professional counseling in regards to that. And so anyway, he wants us in peaceful homes, but he wants us in homes where our kids and our grandkids feel secure and where we ourselves feel secure. And so God wants to provide that for us through Christ. And God wants our homes to be that. And then he says, my people are also going to live in undisturbed places of rest. Home is also supposed to be a place of rest where you can unplug from the cares of this life, the worries, the stuff that we read about earlier that will kill the word in us, the word that we hear. God wants us to be in peaceful homes, in places where we're secure, and also places where we can rest. Does that sound good? It does, doesn't it? That's what we need. All of us as humans, we need those three things in our places of that we call home. Those are very, very important. And God really emphasizes that, I think, to us. All right, let's go a little bit further. Isaiah 55:12 says this. He says, you will go out in joy, and you'll be led forth in peace. And I love that. I always give counsel to people that are making decisions. I'll tell them, well, once you've made your decision, then you should have two signs inside that let you know it's the right decision. And the signs are, you're going to go forth after you make that decision. You should have joy and you should have peace. If you don't have those two things, then you need to wait because it's not God's plan yet for your life. It might not be a no, but God may be saying, wait, it's not time yet. So when you make a decision, two things should be there. You should have a joy about it and you should have a peace about it. And if you don't, you need to stop and you need to wait for God to work out. Give him more time. Give God more time. That's an extremely important lesson that God has taught me in life. In Numbers chapter 6, let's go back there. I love this. Numbers chapter number 6. And it's a priestly blessing. And I love this. I prayed a portion of it over Amanda and Daniel yesterday. Didn't do the whole thing, but part of it. And I love this. Listen to this. Verse 22, he gives a little explanation, the priestly blessing. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons. Moses is like the big dog in the camp. You know, he's the head. But then there's these priests that are under him, Aaron the high priest and his sons who will become priests later. He says, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. And I love this. He says, say this to them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Interesting that the last thing he says is give them peace. Give them peace. So every time we gather together, I pray for the Lord's peace to leave with us through this building as we exit. His presence, his peace, his power, and his perfect love. Amen? The four P's. Those are really important things that I want us to always leave this building with, because that's where the rubber meets the road, is as we leave this building. It's easy to serve God here because we love each other, we love God, we're family, you know. But when we leave here, that's when we face the nitty-gritty of life. That's when the enemy wants to come in and begin to steal, kill, destroy. Amen? But if we go out with the peace of God, the presence of God, the power of God, and the perfect peace of God, we're good. We're good. And we can withstand any attack of the enemy. And then I've got to throw this verse in because it's the first Sunday in December, and it's almost Christmas, and so I love this. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born. God's plan all along was to dwell among us. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he, Jesus, will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace. I love that. It's not just a governmental thing, but there's going to be peace, and only when the Prince of Peace comes, that's when we're going to see world peace fully come to pass for real. Of the increase of his government and peace, there's going to be no end. He, Jesus, will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. How's this going to happen? The zeal of the Lord Almighty, our Heavenly Father, will accomplish this. God is going to bring it about. He's going to bring it to pass. Then Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:14, we sang it this morning, that he, Jesus, is our peace. He is our peace, and he's broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Jesus is the peace speaker, and he's the peace keeper. Romans 5:1 adds this, we have peace with God, but how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want us to flip back to the New Testament as we close this morning, just a couple of verses left this morning about this great peace that God wants to impart to us this morning. If you came here without it, I want you to leave here with it this morning. Amen. John 14:27 tells us this. Kathy quoted it earlier. Peace I leave with you. Underline that word leave. Jesus is speaking here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Underline the word my. It's not just any peace. Jesus is literally telling us the peace that I have, the peace of Jesus, he said, I'm leaving that with you. My peace, he said. My peace. I'm giving it to you. And I don't give it to you like the world gives. The world gives, but the world takes away, right? I don't care what it is, what you achieve, you know, it's gonna diminish, it's gonna perish potentially, it's not gonna last. But he says, the peace I give you, I leave it with you, and I don't give like the world gives. So don't let, underline that word let, don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. God is telling us there, he says, you have the ability to let your mind be troubled if you choose to, but don't let it. Step in. Do something about it. And also, don't be afraid. You can choose to be afraid, or you can choose not to be afraid. It's a choice. And so he says, don't allow your mind to be troubled, and don't be afraid because of this peace that I'm giving you. Let's go to John 16, verse number 33. And he says here, again, Jesus speaking. He said, I've told you these things so that in me, in Christ, you may have peace. That's the only real peace that you'll ever find. It's only found in Jesus. That's why the word says he is our peace. There's no other lasting peace except in Jesus. There is no other lasting peace except in Jesus. He says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Another very negative statement from Jesus, right? He said earlier that we were going to, you know, every day has enough trouble of its own. That doesn't sound good. He's being too negative. But that's what he said, and it's true. It says, now in this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And he said, because I live, you're going to live also. Amen? We're going to live in this life. And after we pass on, or if we're alive when the rapture takes place, we're going to live with him forever. One way or the other, we go from life to life. Amen? As Christians, we can't lose. It's a win-win. And it's all because of Jesus. I have overcome the world, and because I live, you are going to live also. And with this, we close this morning. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 4. Man, I dearly love these scriptures here. Two very simple but yet profound scriptures and very familiar to us. Philippians 4 and verse 6. And Paul writes here, he says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Amen? Don't worry about anything. Because at the beginning we said, by worrying, can you add an inch to your height? Can you add an hour to your life? No, we can't. So if you can't do that, why would you worry about anything else that you know you can't do as well? He says, don't worry, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So no matter what you need, no matter what you desire, we're free to go boldly before the throne of grace. Jesus provided that for us. And so in everything, in every situation, by our prayers, by things that we petition the Lord for, but throwing in with thanksgiving for what he's already done, let's present these requests to God. And then verse 7 says, as we do that, the peace of God, which transcends, exceeds, excels all understanding, it's going to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, normally the word heart really means mind. But in this case, he's saying heart really is heart. It's what you feel deep within. But it's also the mind. He's given us both. He said this peace of God, which transcends, it's mind-boggling to us, it will guard our hearts, our inner being, but it will also guard our minds. But it's all in and through Christ Jesus. So this morning, final word is, let's choose peace, not worry, every single time. Amen? Let's strive to do that.